outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the number one internet radio show anywhere. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Stephanie in the Morning. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, dial them up right now at 323-203-0815. And now strap in for Sam and Stephanie in the Morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, April 20th.
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, my dear.
How are you?
I'm good as always.
Good, good, good.
The morning is my time of day, even though it's hard for me to get up in the morning, I must admit.
Coffee helps, though.
Coffee does help, I gotta say.
You will never guess what happened to me yesterday.
I guess I wouldn't, would
no,
I?
No, you wouldn't. But I'm going to tell you anyway.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, you know, I was going to... Did you know I was going to pick up that rescue dog, Jack, yesterday?
No, I did not know that.
Okay, so my friend, Megan, she...
The thing is, I can't keep up with the dogs. I don't know how many you had before.
You know? Okay, so I have Bodie and Fred. Those are my dogs.
Right,
okay.
Those are your dogs.
And then Megan just rescued Chester, and she's finding home for it.
Okay.
And... But he's staying at my house right now. And then Jack is a German Shepherd that was going to be put down.
Okay.
So I called the shelter and I was like, hey, is anybody interested in him? And they were like, no, he's going to be put down. I was like, okay, I'm going to come and get him.
Yeah.
So I was going to go get him on Monday. And they said, look, he hasn't been neutered yet. So we have to do that. So pick him up on Tuesday. So I said, okay. So we go down there yesterday. Megan comes with me.
Mm-hmm.
And... on the way down there, we're driving down Robertson to get onto the 10 East because it's out in Baldwin Park, which is, you know, it's east.
Yeah.
It's far. It's like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a stray dog. And we're like...
Oh, no.
Yes, I know.
Not so, another one.
No, so we literally pull over. Like, Megan, I'm driving on Robertson in rush hour. Megan sees a stray dog and I'm driving her car. She jumps out of the car, like... opens up the door, jumps out of the car, and starts going running after the dog. So now I step on the gas to try to turn onto a side street so we can, like, corner him. So we tried for, like, 10 minutes to find this dog. Right?
Uh-huh.
Like, she was chasing him. We couldn't get him. He was too scared. There was no collar on him. Anyway, we had to give up because we had to go get Jack, and they were closing at what they told me was 6 o'clock. So we tried, whatever. Okay, so we get back in the car. We drive down to the shelter. We get to the shelter. And it's a long line, and finally, you know, we're waiting there for a little bit, and finally we get up there, and we're like, I'm like, here, I'm here to pick up Jack, and they said, okay, you know, you have to pay for it. You have to pay like $30 for the registration, $30 or $40, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it said check or cash only, and I was like, shit.
Yeah.
I go, nobody told me this on the phone. I don't
right.
have cash. I don't have a check. And the guy goes, well, there's Bank of America around the corner. So now Megan and I get in the car, and the guy's like, it's fine. Like, you know, just, and I'm freaking out. Like, I'm totally like stressed out at this point.
Mm.
And so the guy's like, it's fine. We'll be open. Don't worry. Just go get the money. So we go get the money.
Mm.
On the way back, I shit you not, we find three puppies in the middle of the road.
Wow.
And we were like running around. Somebody just dropped these puppies off.
Wow.
So Megan and I go and we pick them up. And now we have three puppies in the car.
Oh, my God.
And we're like, we both look at each other like, what should we do? Should we turn them into the rescue?
God.
Should we take them home? I would have seven dogs in my house.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, you know what? We need to be smart about this.
Yeah.
As much as, like, we love these puppies, like, I mean, they're covered in dirt. I mean, these things are just,
yeah.
They probably have been on the streets for a while.
Wow.
And it looked like one of them had worms. Anyway, so we go to the shelter and we tell this guy, we're like, look, we just found these puppies. What should we do? Are you going to... because they're a kill shelter. So I'm like, what's the deal? Are you going to put these dogs down? And he's like, look, we'll hold them for 4 days. We'll deworm them. We'll get them cleaned up. And then we can... after 4 days, they can go out to adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And And he's like, but I said, we'll do this. Put my name on the list. If nobody calls before you put him down, I'll come and get him.
Oh, my God.
So it was.
You got to put a cap on this.
I mean,
at a certain point, you can't take in any more dogs.
Well, I'm not. I mean, look, Chester is going to probably find a home this weekend. We're dropping him off to a friend of Megan's who's going to take Chester.
Right.
And most likely going to keep him because she lives on a farm in Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
So she just wants to, like, test it out. And then Jack, Megan probably is going to take him because he's an older dog. He's, seven. Oh. I'm doing okay.
You guys are such saints, I'm telling you.
Or nuts. I think my dad was right. Like, animal hoarders is what I feel like. So, anyway, that was my day into night last night. It was complete chaos.
So you got three puppies now?
No, I have four dogs.
But you took the puppies over to the shelter, right?
Yeah, we left them at the shelter. Yeah. It was too much because they need to be cleaned up and dewormed. They have, like, their stomachs swell up when they have worms.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they get really sick. They have, like, diarrhea and stuff. Sorry to ruin your guys' breakfast. Yeah. But, so they have to be cleaned up. And once they are, then, you know, they'll be fine. They'll be adoptable because they're puppies.
Right.
But still, But could you believe that? On the way down there, we find four dogs.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well,
so
you're very
sweet,
but you do have problems. You need to find another career with dogs.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But I can't help it. All these dogs need homes.
Yeah,
you know, it breaks my heart.
But it's not your responsibility, you know?
No, but I can do what I can.
Yeah.
That's all.
Absolutely.
I went into the shelter
yesterday.
And
I salute you for that. I mean, that's amazing.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate that.
Sure.
How was your night?
My night. Uneventful, really.
Yeah.
You know?
You relaxed because you had a party
going
the
on.
Night before.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call it a party, but yeah.
A gathering. Yes.
Yeah.
A dinner party.
So, but yeah, I mean, that's about it. You know, that's the extent of it.
Yeah.
And, let's bring in our guest. We have a very special guest in the studio.
Hello.
And her name is Laura. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Laura.
And
thank
as you
for
can see,
me.
She's a Brit, and she's here.
You probably can't see that, actually. Yeah. You can just about hear it. If only you saw the lovely Union Jack hat I were wearing right now. But
yeah.
I love it.
So thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks
so you're originally from the UK,
I certainly
right?
am, yes.
And when did you come here?
It was about just over a year ago now.
Oh, really? So you're pretty new.
Fairly new, yeah. I think I've started to adjust a bit now to LA.
Yeah. It does take a while to adjust to LA.
I think it takes a while, I was thinking I should be completely, you know, adjusted to LA now. And everyone's like, no, it takes a little while.
It does. Are you from London?
I'm actually from Reading, which is a town close to London. It's in Berkshire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been to London and I loved it. I loved it.
Just like on
I was only there for 4 days, and then I took the tunnel to Paris.
Great.
And I loved London.
Yeah.
I loved the
people.
It's
got a real buzz about it, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of my friends don't like it that have been there.
Really?
My cousin and her and my uncle actually lived there for three or four years because of his job.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to live there.
Really?
She thinks it's like the greatest place.
Apart from the weather.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
The weather is not so good.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think the
And the traffic has gotten worse too, right? I mean, I was in London last year.
Yeah.
I was only there for 2 days on the way to Israel. And I remember it was so congested, you know?
Yeah, they've introduced the congestion charge to stop people like driving.
Yeah.
But
really?
It's still really bad. Just like a charge you have to pay like 10 or 15 pounds a day or something to drive your car into zone one, which is like the, you know, central London.
Right.
Wow.
And then obviously parking charges are ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to keep people out of there.
Well, they're
cars,
just trying to do the environmental thing, I suppose, as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know what was amazing to me? I was walking there at Piccadilly Square, right?
Oh, yes.
And what struck me is how the air is all full of cigarette smoke. Like you're indoors, but you're outdoors.
A little bit.
And you know what? I'm a smoker too, but I notice these things, you know?
Yeah.
And I've never seen this anywhere in my life where outdoors you're going to smell
the
cigarette
smoky.
Smoke so strong.
Yeah.
You know?
The thing is, in the pubs and stuff, they used to allow people to smoke, and now they've banned that.
Right.
So everyone smokes outdoors.
outside.
So outdoors has now become even smokier.
I know. And it seemed like only that street, you know?
That's so funny.
I was just
wrapping
through that. Yeah.
I mean, I was there so long ago, I don't remember that. I was so young.
But there's a lot to see there, you
know,
and it's a good vibe. I love Europe, you know? I mean, it's you travel in style in Europe, you know?
Yeah.
You go to India, for example.
Oh, I'm obsessed with India.
Do you know, it's been on my list of places that I must go to, and I really want to go to. I've been wanting to go for ages.
And I want to go, like, for a spiritual experience. Like, I want to go meditate in an ashram.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going together. You want to go together?
Yeah,
okay,
let's
going.
Do it.
Sure. Let's go meditate.
Exactly. I want to do yoga and do the meditation
side
of stuff.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
Okay, but are you going to be okay with, like, because this is where I get nervous. I need somebody strong enough to be, like, when I see kids in poverty, because it's everywhere, for someone to be like,
not
Steph,
to adopt.
Adopt
them. Not take home on the plane with several kids. They were just on the streets. I couldn't leave them there.
I swear to God, I'd be like Angelina Jolie with kids. Seriously.
No.
I'm like, I said to Sam yesterday, I said, if it was this easy to adopt kids, I would do it in a heartbeat. But it's not, which is probably a good thing, I would
think. It is a good thing.
Yeah, you know? Considering the amount of dogs you've got.
Because you're, like, raising a child. You're in charge
quite
of, like...
Quite an expense as well, you know?
Well, we can go to India together. Sam doesn't want to go to India. It's not luxurious.
So, no, I'll live vicariously through her trip. I don't need
we
to go there.
We can send you little updates, you know, pictures and photos. You can feel like you're there.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't really want to feel like I'm there, you know. I want nothing to do with that part of the world.
You're not a big fan of curry. You don't really like Indian food.
No, not into Indian food either.
You like South Africa.
South Africa was good. Like I
Never
said, Europe is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. South Africa is beautiful, really. There's a lot of British people there, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know what? To digress for just a second, I don't want to forget this. I got to give a shout out to Mario. Okay. Mario is a. Listener from day one, okay? I mean, he's been listening to all the shows, and he loves you, you know? He had to approve my co-host, my new co-host.
Oh, and he gave a
and
thumbs up.
Mario lives in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and he's been going through a lot of hard time, you know? He's very sick and stuff, very ill. And the past couple of days, he was fighting not to die, I guess, you know? And yet, he was texting me yesterday on Facebook and stuff, so... Mario, I want to say feel good. The strongest person I've ever known. You know, I mean, he's got so many health issues and stuff like that. So I wanted to give you a shout out and to thank you for staying among the living. You know, I mean, it's, you know, so I didn't mean to bring you down.
I
mean,
thank you so much, Mario, for listening and giving me the thumbs up for the co-host.
Yeah.
And I hope you feel better.
And I think he likes your dad, too. He wrote something about Tony.
Thank you, Mario. I'll have to tell my father that. Yeah. He's a big hit among people, I guess. My dad is, Sam is so sweet to let my dad, we call my father and... My father is just, he's awesome. He talks.
That's
and I said to him, but I said to Sam, I said, we got to like rein him in here. Like, we got to like, but he's a funny guy. And he came on, what was it, Monday?
What's
today? Wednesday? Yeah, he came on Monday.
Right.
And he, you know. He was great. I was actually shocked. He was funny.
Oh, wow.
He was funny.
Did you tell him that? You're like, I'm really shocked.
I know. I actually called him after. I said, I'm really shocked that you were so good. He was like, what? I told you I was funny. And I was like, you told me.
Yeah. Didn't believe it.
I know. He was great. So I'm actually getting a lot of people saying that my father is...
is cool, yeah.
Yeah, and we talk about everything here. And I tried to tell my dad not to listen to things. But he does so anyway.
He listens anyway. So we've kept it kind of clean, but it won't stay like that for very long. You know? We're going to ease him into it.
Right.
Oh, God. I don't want to hear this at home.
All right. So back to you. So what made you want to come here to LA?
Well, I've been in London acting sort of professionally since drama school for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I absolutely loved London. I love doing theatre and West End and stuff. But I wanted a bit more of a change. I wanted the sunshine. I wanted the beach. And I was like, and I had some friends out here and they've been, you know, having a great time. And I just thought, like, yeah, I'd like a bit of a change. And obviously the film and TV industry is centered around
that's
LA.
Where it is, right?
It's the place for it. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to...
Yeah, follow the dream, the Hollywood dream.
Absolutely.
So did you move by yourself or did you have... Really?
I moved all on my own. That's pretty brave, huh? Yeah, I left my mum and my sister behind in England.
So, I'm sure they miss you.
They do. I love them dearly and I miss them tons. But they're coming out to visit in June, beginning of June.
Oh, that's exciting.
So for how long? For about a week, but we're going to go to San Francisco because I've never been.
Are you going to drive up the coast?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're going to
do a coastal drive. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'll have a lot of fun for
sure.
So
it's about, what, 5-6 hours or something?
On the coast, it's about 8.
Oh, it's about 8.
If you take the 5 up, it's about 5.
Yeah. Okay.
5 to 6 hours.
Not as fun as the coast.
No.
I mean, you can drive up on the five.
Oh yeah,
and then just come down.
Yes,
either way,
then you're on the right side for the actual coastline, aren't you? As
yeah,
well, it,
I would say that. But again, you know, if you want to do 8 hours up, 8 hours back, that's you know,
it's still going to be a beautiful drive.
It's amazing. Yeah. I highly recommend it. And if you have a convertible, it's even better.
Oh, I wish.
San Francisco's cool.
Maybe I'll hire one for the
week. San Francisco. Yeah. I love San Francisco. Do you, Sam?
Yes, I do.
I've heard great things about
Many people like San Francisco. Yeah, it's a cool place. It's got a nice vibe to it. It's not too big, you know, and...
It's got the kind of cultural aspect as well.
Right.
It
does. Also. The weather is not good, though. I don't think.
Right. In June, what will it be
It's usually overcast there, but I've been there several times and it's always been nice, you know. So you never know, you know. Go in the summer.
Might strike it lucky.
Yeah, you're going in the summer anyway, so
just prepare for like having it be cold. Like,
really? Okay.
Don't think that it's San Diego. Yeah. Just prepare for the cold.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it can get... That's the only thing about San Francisco why I would never live there, is because if I'm going to live on the West Coast, I want warm weather.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I'm... Yes. You know what I mean? I'm not going to move from Chicago to... I'm from Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah. So I know
I can imagine you're like, I want the heat.
Yeah.
I want
warm weather.
Yeah.
But San Francisco, other than that, is awesome. Like, it's really beautiful. It's expensive as hell. But you know what? You'll have a good time.
Yeah. Everyone's told me San Francisco is amazing. I must see it. And I still haven't done Vegas. I haven't done...
Oh, girl.
I know. I've been here... How awful is that? I've been here a year.
What have you been doing?
I know.
Jesus.
Working. It's ridiculous.
That's good. So what have you been working on? I hear all this.
Yeah. So tell us about your new project here.
Yes.
Because this is exciting and it's a timely project.
I was going to say, it's absolutely... Yeah. It's called William and Kate. And it's about, obviously, the royal couple.
There we go.
And I think, they found out that obviously they were getting married, the engagement was announced, and they were like, right, let's get something into production. So literally, I think we were cast in, end of January, and then we were shooting February, and then obviously it's, what now, April.
So where did you shoot this?
We shot in LA.
You shot everything in LA?
Yeah, they did exterior shots back in the UK.
I was going to say.
Right, but all the interiors.
But not much, the interiors. And even all the university stuff was at... shot at UCLA.
Wow.
So St. Andrews University.
Yeah, I was going to say St. Andrews.
It's like, so I'm not quite sure.
Wow.
You know, but they shot it all here.
And what did you play? What was your part?
I played Kate Middleton's boss when she works at Jigsaw.
Oh.
So I get to be a mean.
I was going
to
say, are you mean?
Yeah. I'm not horrible. I'm very professional. She's very, you know, got that front.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of condescending remarks.
Who plays Kate?
Camilla Luddington, who's actually, and we're both from Berkshire, which is where Kate Middleton's from as well.
Really?
So
it was quite interesting.
But it was great because when we were in the makeup trailer, we discovered that we're literally from a town really close to each other. Wow, my God, you're from there. Amazing.
Wow. That's so great.
Did you have to study up a lot on Kate and understand like her life, her background, things like that?
Well, I kind of knew
a bit
already, just from what I'd heard in the press and stuff.
Right.
And then, I mean, not particularly.
No, you just had to go based on the script and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah.
So who wrote it, directed it? Who plays Prince William, too?
Oh, a guy called Nico Everswindle.
Okay.
And he's a New Zealander. But he does a great job. Yeah. He's really good. Yeah.
So you had to do that British accent and all that, huh?
Yes, I think they had accent coaching and everything. Yeah.
Wow.
That amazes me.
I mean, it'd be much easier to just take someone with the right accent and cast them there. But I guess sometimes you just find the right person.
I think
it's
because it's a look. You know?
It's a look.
And ability, obviously, if they're talented, it kind of just fits. Yeah,
right.
And he does. Yeah. He looks great for the role.
Well, New Zealanders also have an accent, too. So it's like...
Yeah, but to us it sounds like British, but to them it doesn't.
Oh, no. totally
never
different.
Say that to yeah. someone in New Zealand. Don't even say that they're Australian. They'll kill you.
Oh, no.
It's
yeah, you don't
so
want to go there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It is
very
so
different.
Different.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah. to us, it all sounds the same.
That's the thing. Some people actually, when I first came out here, actually, I still get it now. I think I'm Australian.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. they just sort of go, Australian? I'm like,
I can hear, I can, well, that's mean to say. I mean, I can understand that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. You have if you're not familiar with the accent and yeah. hearing it all the time, then it could sound, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just weird because to me, I'm just English through and through.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you're like, no, damn it. You're from England, you retard.
See, I don't say that. I just think it.
You, yeah.
There we go.
See, you think it.
And
I knew
inside.
It. I knew it.
Absolutely.
So who directed it and
it was directed by Mark Rosman, who did a lot of Lizzie McGuire with Hilary Duff and A Cinderella Story.
Okay.
And he was fantastic. I met him last year and we sort of kept in touch and then this came up and he sort of called me in for it, and yeah, it was really great to actually finally work with him.
That's awesome.
He's really cool.
And it's Monday at...
It was on Monday.
It was on?
It was on.
It's been on. I know, but I think they're going to show it again.
Yeah, I think they're going to show it a million times.
Yeah, it's on Lifetime.
Oh,
yeah, it was actually shown Monday.
Wow, how cool.
I'm sorry. I feel bad now.
No,
it's okay, because we had to postpone her appearance. I mean, she was supposed to be here before that.
Yeah.
But...
You busy gal.
Yeah, no, I didn't have a co-host and stuff, so I didn't bring her in. We were, like, between co-hosts and stuff, so... But at any rate, I mean, I'm sure they're going to play the shit out of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because the wedding, is, as I say, isn't until the 29th, so I think they're going to try.
And besides, all these TV movies that they make, they figure, you know, we worked so hard on it, costs a lot of money,
absolutely.
We'll show it a few times,
yeah,
you know?
I think quite a bit of money went into it. It looks really great. It's
really?
Shot beautifully, yeah. Oh,
so awesome. What is the story about? Tell us a little bit about
it. Basically, it charts from when they sort of first meet at St. Andrews, and then they're kind of building friendship, and then when they get together.
St. Andrews is what? Like
a
college?
University. In Scotland.
So, and that's where they met?
Yes.
Now, is she a commoner, or what they consider a commoner, or is she coming from noble?
I suppose nobility. Technically, I think she's a commoner, even though her family are, you know...
Well off.
Yeah, she's not.
Right.
She's not Cockney by any standards.
No. She's not one of the peasants or anything.
No. She's not Cinderella.
But technically, no, she's not... noble.
Right. No
but
nobility.
But neither was Princess Diana.
But no, exactly. Neither was Diana.
Yeah, she wasn't either.
So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, she wasn't. She was a commoner like her.
And I think it's lovely that they're actually, you know, marrying because they love each other. I think that's really quite nice.
I know.
I think that that Queen Elizabeth would have something to say about that. She doesn't look like a very nice person. Maybe she is,
I'm sure
she's lovely.
I've never met her. But it's just, if you've ever seen her, she does an address to the nation on Christmas Day. She does a little speech.
Okay.
And she's just very, I mean, you know how her behavior, she's very staid, very, not a lot of smiling going on. And you think on Christmas Day, she could surely smile a little bit more, but
well, obviously nothing excites her.
Yeah. And she doesn't want to.
That's how they were, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's like all my life I've known her as the only queen, you know? I mean, she's been there forever. And she doesn't want to die. I mean, I feel so bad for Charles,
well, I mean,
you know?
Her mother as well, you know, Queen Elizabeth II was, she was around for quite a while.
Right.
It was only recently she died.
I know. And,
yeah, she was how old? Like 90 or
something
80?
Something like that,
But you'd think that, you know, Queen Elizabeth would step down or something and give her son a chance, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been waiting for it all his life, you know?
I think he's happy with Camilla,
I think,
or whatever her name is.
Camilla.
Camilla. I'm sure he'd love to be king, though. Come on, he's been raised for
I'm sure.
Know?
This is my ex-husband thinks that all the royal family are all shapeshifters, too. He's like a big conspiracy guy.
Really?
Oh, he thinks Queen Elizabeth is a lizard. I mean, it was like Princess Diana's death was a conspiracy, and she was hit.
Oh, he should write a movie about that.
Oh, God. Yeah. Please don't encourage this, honey. Please do not encourage this. He said, like, the where she died, like, she hit, like, the 13th pillar, and it's like a satanic thing, and whoever was there, like, it was so done. He's like, he was explaining this to me, and now I don't remember everything, but it's literally done so, like how she died. It right. was this whole ritual thing, mm. and it was a whole satanic thing. And,
really?
Oh, that Prince Charles planned it, and Queen Elizabeth planned it, and she no. was just there to give him sons, and that's it. That was it. Like, I swear to God, this is what conspiracy theories
wow.
believe. So I, in my head, kind of, when I picture Queen Elizabeth, I also picture a lizard. So,
wow.
like,
oh my
I can't
gosh.
Help it. Right. Not that I necessarily believe it, but I've heard it for so many
but
years.
I was going to say, if you've
that's
been...
like, I literally totally see her part yeah. lizard, part person. So
wow.
I can't... so messed up. But anyway, I don't...
Maybe she looks a little like a lizard.
There we
who
go.
Knows?
See?
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, I didn't mean
you
to
watch
put a
too
little...
much science fiction. That's a problem.
No, the thing is he didn't really watch science fiction. It's
really?
Just like, no, like, I mean, he likes Star Wars. I like Star Wars, but no yeah. Star Trek or anything
yeah.
like that.
Oh, okay.
But he just has this obsession with conspiracies for everything.
Wow.
Everything
really?
Is a conspiracy. And it's
oh.
so, it's interesting, yet absolutely crazy.
Right.
Like, you are just like, at some point you have to be like, really?
Like, really?
Yeah,
are you
exactly.
sure?
So anyway, the royal family is apparently well, shapeshifters.
Well, I mean, they...
So you didn't go into that in your script,
surprised.
Did you?
No, we didn't cover that area, no. Funnily enough, for a Lifetime movie, it didn't really go there, no. But they basically, it ends when they get engaged. So
oh, okay,
ends
so it goes...
So it doesn't go through to their actual wedding. It just goes
oh,
through
okay.
to when they actually... When he proposes.
I it. See. So it covers the period since they met until
yeah,
about
now. Yeah,
and
then when now. They sort of they begin their relationship and then,
right.
yeah, the sort of mini breakup they have and all the drama.
Right.
And through to...
So you play her boss.
I do.
What was she doing? I mean, what kind of work was it?
Well, it was a fashion chain called Jigsaw. And she... there was a bit of a... hoo-ha about it in England when she got the job there because they were like, Kate Middleton's dating the prince and she's working at Jigsaw.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
it was a bit strange.
Yeah.
But she wasn't working in the retail section. She wasn't, you know, like right. processing right. the refunds or anything.
Right at the cash register.
Yeah. She was a buyer, so she was like doing the
oh, yeah.
and stuff. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work there.
Yeah.
A lot
so,
of math.
Yes. Well, just kind of, I think it was all putting the outfits together and that kind
well,
of stuff.
What yeah, well, a buyer confused? Is, I, a buyer is, I, because for like a hot second, I was into that, like back
oh.
before I wanted to be an actor. And mm-hmm. I, because I like fashion and I just realized I actually like wearing fashion and not doing anything else. So, I, and it's all about math. And you literally
oh,
just
wow.
go and you buy, you're in charge of buying clothes for a department. So
nice.
If you're in charge of like the junior department, you go to fashion shows or whatever and designers and you buy, they give you a certain amount of money and you buy
okay.
that so that it's all has to do with math.
Yeah.
So that's what a buyer
wow.
is. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's it sounds great.
I was going to say, it sounds
but
like a great job,
it's
but
also
actually...
so boring, I
right.
wanted to slip my wrist.
No, and you were like, this is not what I got into fashion for.
I was like,
for.
I just really want to wear fashion.
Oh,
can somebody dress
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
Like that.
Exactly.
And that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
But I realized that
oh.
early on. So, okay, so
yeah,
she was,
yeah.
she worked as a buyer at Jigsaw.
Jigsaw, yeah.
Okay.
I think so, yeah, yeah. And
okay.
it's kind of, yeah, she had that job and everyone was like, ooh. That was, I think it was only for a short period of time that she did
mm.
that before she sort of,
mm-hmm.
thought,
and
maybe
they
I don't need to do this
they
anymore.
Dated for like 7 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
7 years,
long,
and they, I think
huh?
they had a little breakup.
Yeah.
Like for a while, and they
really?
Got together again. Yeah.
I never even heard of her until a few months ago.
Oh no! So they were like royal wedding. Who? Oh yeah.
yeah,
William. Oh, who's he marrying? Some
yeah.
random person.
But I have a question though. Why is it like they just announced their engagement? Why are they rushing to? Not that I mean they've been together for a while, but what's the
yeah.
big rush with this ceremony?
I don't know. I suppose maybe if you're royalty, there's some sort of thing where you can't, you know, you can't have it hanging on too long.
Do they think she's going to run out on him? I mean,
no.
is that what they're concerned
maybe,
about?
Now she's got the ring.
She's
oh.
like, maybe I'm going to run out on him now.
I don't think she would now. Can you imagine?
That ring
oh,
is
God.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful,
it's,
like the sapphire and diamonds.
So where
oh.
is the wedding at? Do you know? Because I don't know any
they're
of
having
this stuff.
It. I think they're doing the proper traditional thing. I think they're
right.
doing Buckingham Palace. They're doing
okay.
the procession.
Okay.
Not Buckingham Palace, Westminster Abbey.
Westminster
sorry.
Abbey.
Yeah,
right.
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And they're doing yeah the whole procession with the carriage and everything. So.
Right.
So the same thing
yeah.
that Princess Diana and
yeah.
Charles did. They're doing
right.
exact same thing. And I think
got
I think they've got like. They've got like 600 guests or something that were actually invited, and then everyone else can kind of stand and just watch.
Are you invited because you did their story?
Do you know, should be. And my invite must have been lost in the post because, no, still nothing yet. And it is happening in, what, 10 days or something?
That's so I'm going to watch it. Are you going to watch it, Sam?
Probably. Not the whole thing. I'll watch 5 minutes of it.
5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even watch the Oscars, you know, for more than 10 minutes at a
time.
Well,
the Oscars gets a little...
It's quite long, isn't it, actually, the whole shebang with the red carpet, and then by the time you've got around to the
You got to understand, men are not that infatuated with weddings and shit, you know, so
that's
it's
true.
More for women than that, you know.
That is true.
Yeah. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Laura Waddell, and she's in the movie Kate and William, right?
William and Kate.
William and Kate, okay.
Very similar, yeah. Yeah.
And it was just on Lifetime on Monday, but it'll probably be playing again. So
yeah, I think it's released on DVD as well.
So. Yeah, but it's a nice addition to your resume and everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and, it's really fun to do.
And I'm sure a great experience too, right?
Yeah. Oh, it was lovely. It was really great working with Mark. Cause
So was the entire crew British or
it was all a mix. I mean, I think most of the crew were American, but then the cast, I think they tried to cast as closely to the British as possible.
For the New Zealand boy.
Except for the New Zealand.
I played Prince William.
Yeah. But Ben Cross was playing Prince Charles, and Serena Scott Thomas was in it as well. And, it's had some good people.
Sounds
Where'd you guys
good.
Shoot it at? I mean, I know in LA, but at
downtown.
Stages? LA Center Studios?
No, it was on the location where I particularly shot, because they kind of recreated the Jigsaw offices, so they had like the merchandise up. And that's the thing. I was like walking past this stuff going, that is a great bag. Oh, look.
Is that? Did you ask to take the stuff? I always do that when I'm on set.
Oh, I'm so tempted. Yeah.
Why don't you? No. I always ask.
Really?
You can, because you can buy it from.
I think you can buy it back, can't you? Like
from wardrobe. Like you can go onto a set, and if you like the clothes or something, you can say, hey,
they actually did that with my costume. They were like, if you want to buy it back, because only you've worn it, and you can get it back half price.
Now, granted, us actors, okay, we don't know when our next paycheck is going to come from. So they're like, it's only $1,000, and you're like, okay, that's my entire paycheck.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Maybe
keep the damn thing.
Right? Yeah. So maybe not. How about you just give it to me for free?
Yeah.
Exactly.
How about freebie once in a while?
Right. So it's nice.
So what have you been working on before this? You said you've been out here for a year.
Yes. I'd been doing a lot of like short films and stuff.
So this is your
some web series.
Biggest
this is my big this
thing
is my,
out
like
here.
US TV day.
That's so exciting.
Which is wicked. And I've got a feature film that I'm shooting in the summer this year, which is cool.
What is it? Tell us about
it's called Shattered Mind.
Okay.
And it's about a guy who has a sort of split personality. And I play his wife, and she dies after fall off a yacht.
Really?
Fall off a yacht.
Wow.
It's quite dramatic.
Isn't that how
what's her
name died? Natalie Wood.
Yeah.
Didn't she die like
oh,
that?
Oh yes.
Yeah. She drowned.
I think she drowned. Yeah. Gosh. Yeah.
She was drunk and she just fell off the boat or something.
It was a mystery, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if they ever figured it out or what.
Somebody
but it was so long ago.
She was amazing. West Side Story. Oh, I love her.
She's amazing. Oh. Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Okay, so you play Shattered. Let me try that again. You do not play a Shattered Mind. You play the wife and you fall off a yacht.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I turn up later on in the film as a different character, but because he's got this and he thinks it's me and it's all very the wife.
It sounds like
it's kind of a thriller.
Like a Christopher Nolan type of movie.
Yeah.
Is that a theatrical release or is that for TV?
No, it's SAG. I think it's going to be theatrical. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Anybody directing it? Anyone else big?
No, nobody's directing it.
No, it's directing.
It's directing itself.
A guy called Jason T. Stone is directing. Yeah,
I hate him. I was hoping nobody caught that.
Aww.
But of course, he's T. Stone.
Yeah, I won't let you get away with anything.
Good one, Sammy.
So shooting late summer.
Okay. Where are you shooting here?
I think so.
I like that everything's coming back. Yeah. You know, Sam, that for a period it still is a lot of things being shot in Canada
because it's cheaper.
You know.
Yeah.
But actually now a lot of things are coming back to LA.
Oh,
I think they're trying to provide better tax credits, aren't they? And stuff.
Yeah. It was so expensive.
Because it's ridiculous to drive the industry out of here. You know, I mean, this is where it should be.
This is where the same was kind of happening with London as well. A lot of stuff was shot outside. I mean, things are still shot in London, but it's expensive to shoot.
Right. Yeah.
Stanley Kubrick shot a lot of his stuff.
Yes.
He had a stage there. He shot a lot of his stuff. Oh, yeah, I don't remember where I, but yeah. Do you like Stanley Kubrick stuff?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I do. We were talking about Eyes Wide Shut. And,
yes, we were. Right? The big sex orgy.
Oh, yeah.
That's all she remembers from the movie.
It was
me too.
Well,
don't worry.
Well, that movie. I'm a big fan of him, but
I think that movie was a little weird.
Oh, no, I mean that's what you get sometimes if you cast a couple as well. I'm always a bit like.
I don't know. That movie was weird. But Lolita, his Lolita, I think is just one of the best.
Oh, really?
Did you ever see it? Yeah.
No.
It is so good. James Mason. You know James Mason.
Right.
Yeah. Amazing actor. And then Sue Lyon, who plays Lolita. Mm-hmm. It's so disturbing how, like, hot she is as, like, a 12-year-old. Like,
it is a bit worrying.
It is really disturbing.
Yeah. Really?
Like, she's a gorgeous girl. But
so it's like a modern version of it, or what?
He does the original Lolita.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So Lolita was a book, and it was he adapted it, and he did the first one, and then somebody who I don't know.
It's just that you're saying she looked so hot for a 12-year-old, and I'm thinking this is more appropriate in our time. But then again, that's what the story is about.
But that's the book, so it kind of. But even the book, I guess, is dirtier. It's like better than.
Yeah, I've never read the book, but
I heard
the film,
it's amazing.
It's,
but he did. I mean, Sue Lyon, seriously, it is really disturbing. Like how sexy and hot she is as a 12-year-old.
But how relevant is that today?
I know. It's crazy. But I didn't like the... I didn't actually see the remake of it.
I haven't seen the remake. No, that's the thing. I don't think I could watch it.
I won't see it.
After the Kubrick one, I'm like,
I won't see it.
It
frustrates me. I get like that. I'm a little kind of a bitch about it, you know? Like, I won't watch... I love... Willy Wonka.
Oh, yes.
I won't watch Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Really?
Do you know what? I've seen it. And Johnny Depp is fantastic in it. But I was just, because I love Willy Wonka.
Yep, me too.
I was like, I just doesn't quite live up to.
And Gene Wilder, you've seen Willy Wonka, have you?
No.
With Gene Wilder?
No.
Okay, do you know who Gene
is? I know who Gene Wilder is, absolutely.
Gene Wilder, he is phenomenal in this role.
Really?
And he's really weird and disturbing and dark.
But
and
also sweet.
So loving.
Yeah, yes.
And he, like, there's nothing, nobody could ever recreate that for me. So when they did Johnny Depp in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, now Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is more of like the book, though.
Yes.
So
they were trying
different.
To go more, and obviously it's very Tim Burton style. It's darker and it's kind of a little surreal in places and everything.
Right.
And and
but I
he definitely achieves that. But it's just because I think it's hard not to compare it.
I know. It's so good.
Yeah.
When you deliver a great performance like that, or, you know, you have a great director.
Yeah.
It's hard to recreate, you know, a movie.
And there's so many remakes are happening now, aren't there? Everything that was ever popular, they're trying to sort of bring back.
Yeah.
Let's make the new
version. It's kind of safer, you know.
Well, exactly. And that's why so many adaptations, I think, are happening as well. Because they're like, well, this book was really successful.
Yep.
Right.
So clearly it's going to make money. So let's
They don't want to take a chance on it. So they're going to say, this sold. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do this.
Hence the sequels and all that kind of thing. Because they're like, it's already a franchise. It's great. It's,
I know. They won't remake my favorite movie of all time.
Which is what?
Harold and Maude.
Really?
That's your favorite movie of all time? Really?
It's a perfect,
I'll have to check it out.
It is
wonderful.
Perfect movie.
Yeah.
It's a dark comedy. The acting's amazing. The writing. The whole soundtrack is Cat Stevens. I'm obsessed with Cat Stevens.
Really?
Yusuf Islam
is his name now. And you swear, and he says that all his music when he was Cat Stevens was all made from the devil, and he's like,
is that what he
says? Oh yeah. No, he says he says that all he renounces his music as Cat Stevens. He says that the devil put it out, and because now he's Muslim.
Right, yeah.
He has 9 daughters or something like that.
Wow.
And but he puts out music as Yusuf.
Right. And so he's
and obviously nobody listens to that.
Apparently. Because nobody even really knows who he is.
Exactly. You change your name, it's like, hang on.
But I love the folk era of the 70s. Like, I know you like disco, Sam.
Disco? Well, I love all the 70s.
You do?
I mean, there's a lot of rock and stuff. I just have, when disco came around, I happened to like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like my favorite genre, but... 70s for sure.
Like
yeah.
See, I love all the folk stuff.
I like the
love
folk
Joni
stuff.
Mitchell.
Yeah,
and
Janis
kind of
Joplin. Well, she's kind of not really folky, is she?
She's a little bit rockier.
She's a little bit rockier.
Yeah.
She's a messed up woman. Yeah. That girl.
Yeah, because she died.
She OD'd. She OD'd.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of them did, yeah.
That was the thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, that was the popular thing.
And you know, did you ever see this poster where it puts down all these musicians that died at the age of 27? And it's Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix. Jim Morrison from The Doors.
And they were all 27. Yeah.
They're all 27.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. And they all OD'd.
Gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of them. I know, Jimi Hendrix, man.
Rock and roll, baby.
I would have paid money to go to Woodstock, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I have a my old neighbor, she's this really great hippie woman. She's in her 60s. She's just this beautiful energy. And she was at Woodstock.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And she said it was just...
I bet it was just phenomenal. Yeah,
like nothing else. I mean, just drugs and dancing and just sex and being nude and just music. And it was just mind-blowing, she said. Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But they don't... Like, looking back, it was just kind of like, that's what it was. But now it's just so...
It's part of the whole thing. Yeah.
You know
it's just like a legend, you know. Now we kind of treat it as like, wow, you know, this was an event in history or something. And there's never been another thing like it. You
nothing.
Know? Nothing quite.
And they try
like
to recreate it.
With all these festivals that are handing out.
Yeah, they had Band Aid and, you know.
What's Band Aid?
Band Aid was, I think it was for AIDS and stuff.
Yeah,
and they did.
Right. Yeah.
They had like a concert with a lot of different bands and things
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think just that was like in the 80s or something, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
But there's so many rock and roll stars that I really want to. I really want to see before they die, you know, because you just think, when are they going to go? Like Bob Dylan, I went to see.
Oh, how was it?
A couple of years ago now. Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was. I went to see him at the O2, which was a massive, stadium in London.
Mm-hmm.
And for Bob Dylan, because of his nature of his music, it was a little he was just like a little, tiny little figure from a distance.
Yeah.
I just wanted to have that kind of intimate feeling. It was still amazing to see him, and I'm so glad I did.
He's a singer-songwriter.
Yeah,
you can't have a big
and he
venue.
Had a hat on, couldn't see him.
Yeah.
And all he said, he barely said anything throughout the whole set, and at the end just went, thank you, friends. That was it.
You sound a little like Bob Dylan. Nice job.
Sounded a bit hairy.
Yeah, that was good.
I know. He doesn't seem like he's got a lot of personality. I don't know,
No, I mean, he's getting on a bit now, isn't he?
How old is he now? 60s?
No, it's got to be in the 70s.
It's got to be 70-something now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I reckon.
I would love to
he's
see
been
him.
Been around forever.
He's still amazing.
I would give my right arm to see the Beatles.
Oh,
I
really?
Would have given anything in the world to see the Beatles. But let me just tell
Paul
you this.
Paul McCartney's still going on.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
My sister saw him recently in a really intimate gig in London. And she said it was a really small venue. And she said it was just amazing. Because
just
it was,
retarded.
He was right there.
Oh, yeah. I would
it's
give
just,
anything to see him. Though I did see this, and I'm going to go see this Beatles tribute band.
Oh, great.
Next month.
Oh
my God, Sam. It is seriously... my friend took me there.
Right.
And
you were telling me about it,
right? Remember I said this?
Yeah.
I said this on air. Sam doesn't... I'll just make it quick because I know I said this
No,
before,
I happen to remember.
Oh, okay.
And I don't remember many things. You know? But that's what I remember.
My friend took me, I think, last year.
Oh, wow.
It was one of the best... I was bawling. Every single one of them are not... Well, no. Three of them. The only guy that was British was George. Everyone else was not. They put on an accent... They sounded, if you were to close your eyes, sounded like John Lennon, sounded like Paul McCartney, sounded like Ringo. Like, it was unheard
amazing.
Of. And then the coolest part of this, what I was telling Sam, was how amazing musicians they are. So the guy that plays Paul is a right-handed guitar player. He taught himself left-handed because Paul.
Oh, because Paul is left-handed.
Paul. And then when we were on stage, or when we were on stage, because I was apparently up there, I wish, Paul was playing, the guy that was playing Paul was doing Let It Be, and he was on the keyboard.
Right.
Well, the guy that was playing John came out, and they all have, they have recreated all the same bass and guitars that they have used throughout the years.
Wow.
And they change costume, and they do all these different songs throughout the years, right?
Oh,
so it's a whole thing. Well, the guy that plays John came out, and he was playing bass. Well, the only bass that was out there was Paul's, so he turned it upside down. And he played it because it was left-handed.
Yeah.
Like, they're so incredible. I can't even. I'm.
What were they called? It wasn't the Bootleg Beatles.
No. The Fab Four. I highly recommend it to anybody. They travel. I'm seeing them next month, May 8th, at Canyon Country, which is like this dinner and It's like a dinner. It's in Woodland Hills.
Oh, right.
Woodland Hills. Canyon Country is so far from Woodland Hills.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Canyon Country is far, my dear.
Well, no. It's No, the actual place is called it.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What it's called.
Oh, I see. Like it's not the city of Canyon Country.
Yeah, it's not the city. It's
okay.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Like the venue called Canyon Country or Canyon. Yeah, something like that. And it's like a dinner. It's like a dinner show venue.
Right.
So they serve you dinner while you watch the show.
Nice.
And it's
do you know amazing. If they're playing in LA?
They're playing there, and then they're playing. Oh God, you got to go onto their website called The Fab Four if you're into it.
Because there was there was a band called the Bootleg Beatles in England who I saw and were phenomenal. Like,
oh really?
Yeah, just so spot on.
I guess Ringo said that he's seen actual Ringo has seen this tribute band and said it's the best tribute band he's ever seen in his life.
So, wow.
My pops just texted me. He said Dylan will be 70 on May 24th.
Okay.
Okay. Wow.
So
he will be. Oh,
so you weren't that far off. That's
well, you guys
good.
Were.
Well,
right.
We were. Yeah, because we thought he was already in his 70s.
Right. Yeah. So you were right.
Oh, okay.
God damn it.
He's 69. For some reason, I thought he was older.
Wait, he was 80. I was gonna say he looks pretty damn good for 80.
Yeah.
No. So okay. Wow. So your show. So the William and Kate. It will maybe air again.
I'm hoping they'll rerun it. Yeah.
Okay.
Because
we want to see this. Now I want to. I'm kind of. Sad that I didn't get to see it, but I'll go check it out. I'm sure we can find it online somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like
or Netflix it.
Yeah, I think, and it's going to be, on DVD or Netflix, I'm sure.
Okay, and then you're working on the film, so you'll be shooting in the summer.
Yes, it's exciting.
And just doing little things in between there.
Some bops, yeah.
That's so exciting.
Really cool.
Yay, so you're not going back to England anytime soon?
No.
Here, it's coming up again. Look, I'm on their website on Lifetime. William and Kate, Let Love Rule, April 23rd and 24th.
Oh, great. There we go.
9 a.m. Eastern and Pacific.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
So we can definitely check you out.
April 23rd.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see you.
Yay.
Yay.
Okay, so she's the daughter of upper middle class commoners.
Yeah,
okay.
All
right.
Her father has a big company, and I forget what it is. It's like, they're loaded.
I was going to say, they're not.
No, I would imagine. Yeah, like we said, no peasants there, you know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of not living in the woods, like scrubbing floors or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I forget what he does, though. I really, somebody told me.
They're well off, though. Yeah, definitely.
Well, and also for her to go to St. Andrews, that's not a cheap university.
Yeah, no, St. Andrews is,
That's a pretty prestigious university.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see this and to see the wedding. I'm like,
I think it's a big whole buzz about it. I mean, it's it's a momentous event because, how often do you get royal weddings? Not that often.
I know. So. Would you want to be want to be part of the royal? Honestly.
No.
I wouldn't either.
I really wouldn't. I just don't think I could handle
the pressure.
No. And just having to do all these function attend things and just all the duties
required. I couldn't always
be
like, there's no way I could always shut my mouth, right, Sam?
No, exactly. You couldn't.
I don't think
there's no way that I could always just be like, yes sir, yes ma'am.
The interview. Have you seen the interview with them when they first got engaged?
Yes.
And they're so kind of like they're very sweet, but you can see they've obviously been told that's
the poise
and the way you say things and
they go to school for those things
they'll have advisors for it and everything
they live in Buckingham Palace or where do they
I think they probably will Buckingham Palace is obviously one of their homes. Windsor Castle is another.
They have
them all over the country,
I'm confused because I don't really know this, so hold on. Prince Charles and Camilla live in Buckingham Palace too?
Well, yeah, it's one of their homes.
Okay,
yes,
so but technically all the family lives together still?
Yeah.
They have a couple different
depending
places.
Depending on where
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I see.
Yeah.
Who lives where.
If they've had a row, maybe they'd be like, I'm going to Windsor Castle.
So they'll just travel an hour away.
Instead of their room.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, I'm going to my room.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to Windsor Castle. Well, it's always nice if you've got another home to go to, isn't it?
Wow. That is amazing. Yeah. Okay, so, and then Prince Harry lives there too?
I think So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure.
You should know this because you are from England and you need to know everything there is to know about the royal family.
Yes.
Okay.
You're representing the country.
I feel like as a Brit,
now.
I should do.
I feel, I know. You should.
I'm lacking in my royal knowledge. Oh, dear. I have to go home in there.
Don't you guys learn this in school or anything?
Well, you would think. You think there'd be a class where they teach you everything? No.
They don't?
Sadly not. No.
So, have you met any American men here that you like?
Do you know what? Not yet. Well, I've met lovely, you know, I've made great friends, yes, but
friends.
Not dating,
but not dating at the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't blame you. It's hard to date in LA.
Yeah, I've been so busy as well. It's just having the time to fit in.
And dating is a job, as we know.
It is a job. Yes,
it's a job. Yeah. Going on dates is a job.
Yeah. There's a lot of pressure involved.
I know.
Oh.
And really, I mean, you have to be in the mood to really care about what somebody says.
To have the energy, have several cups of coffee before you go on the date.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
To be honest, yes. Like, you know, absolutely. It's like, how many times can you tell the same story?
I know, yes.
Like, I know when I go on dates and I have to tell about me, I am bored with myself. Yeah. Like, I'm actually like...
I come from Reading and I've been here a year.
Yeah. Right. I get bored with myself. Which doesn't happen very often.
But that's why it's always good to go, just tell me about you.
Right.
Tell me about you. And then it's talk.
At some point you check out and you're like, I don't really care. I've had some horrific dates. We don't have time to talk about them today, but I have had some horrific dates in my life.
So I haven't done the dating thing here yet.
So good luck with that, sweetie.
Someone told me that LA is where love comes to die, which was a really I was like, oh, great. Looking forward to moving there. Fantastic.
Yeah. I would kind of agree with that, actually.
Really?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, because they say everyone who comes here as a couple breaks up and, you know, all this sort of stuff.
That is actually true.
Really?
Or you get married out here and then you get divorced.
Right.
That's me.
People part ways. That's just what happens.
Oh, I'm happily divorced, sweetie. I hate complaining. Yeah. My husband was obviously thought that everything was shape-shifting. I'm surprised at some point he didn't ask me if I shape-shifted.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe he thought
really
so.
Really into that.
Okay.
Maybe he was so certain he didn't even bother asking.
I know.
All right. Well, Laura, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you so much.
You're
guys,
a lot of fun and stuff.
Thank you.
Good luck
all the
with
best
everything.
With the film. I hope you managed to save all the money from the film for your retirement.
Well,
don't spend it all at once.
Saving ahead for the future.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys, for listening.
Okay. Thanks,
today.
Everybody. We'll see you all here, actually, on Friday.
You have been listening to Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all communication to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Stephanie is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.